Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Joining me on today's show is Pastor Jonathan Falwell, senior pastor of Thomas Road Baptist Church and chancellor of Liberty University. He's someone I deeply admire and have long looked up to as my own pastor. Jonathan, my friend, thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely, man. Honor to be with you. Thanks for all you do.
As we start, one thing that I wanted to highlight up front, October 6th and 7th is the Refuel Conference that you guys are hosting at TRBC right here in Lynchburg, Virginia. Speak to the heart of that event, if you would.
Well, you know, this is a conference that really has been going on for about 50-some years as part of Thomas Road Baptist Church. Back in the old days, my dad started the conference. He called it Super Conference for years and years and years and years. And then, you know, it's morphed into now what we call the Refuel Conference, an opportunity for pastors and ministry leaders, lay leaders in churches, and just for anyone, people of faith, to come together and just get encouraged. We decided to do this conference a little bit different than any other conference. Yeah. Mainly, it's free. Yes. We don't charge anybody to come. And we do this, we bring in the speakers, we have breakouts, we have opportunities for people gathering together and just to sit down, back and to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, regardless of what your responsibility or your place of service is within the church, which, by the way, we're all ministers within the church, right, as followers of Christ. Sometimes it's tough, and we just need to come together with people from like minds, like heart, gather together, as Acts chapter 2 talks about, to be of one mind and one spirit and allow ourselves to walk out of that place energized to go do what God's called us to do. So that's what it's all about. Again, it's totally free.
Yes.
And, man, we'd love to have anybody and everybody come and be a part.
If there's ever a time that we need to be filled as a church, it's now. I think we live in very dark times. And I think the manifestation of evil is becoming more and more prevalent. It's becoming more and more loud. But I believe this, that there's no coincidence that that coincides with what I see as a spiritual awakening in our country. Not across just college campuses, but we're seeing some policies being pushed. President Trump was just in the Museum of the Bible, kind of rededicating the nation back to being the one, back to our roots, being one nation under God, being a nation that prays again as we enter into the 250th anniversary next year. But then you see these heinous acts of evil and these crimes, from the innocent woman that was stabbed on that subway in Charlotte, to the school shootings all across our country, to the recent assassination of Charlie Kirk. I mean, it's heartbreaking and it's devastating. And I just wanted to ask, you know, in these times, what do you make of all of this? Do you see Satan and the enemy and the accuser getting angry because of this awakening, and then all of a sudden he's just putting these horrific things on the forefront to entice fear? What do you make of all this as a pastor?
Well, I think the first thing to recognize is none of us should be shocked about what's going on.
Yeah.
We go back to Scripture, to Genesis chapter 3, when there was the original deception by Satan with Adam and Eve. And all he's been doing is exactly what he promised that he was going to do throughout all of Scripture and throughout all of time. You fast forward into the New Testament, Paul made it very clear, in the last days, people are going to be, you know, lovers of selves rather than lovers of truth. They're going to be walking away from what is right, walking away from righteousness. All we're seeing really is a fulfillment of exactly what God's word said was going to happen in the last days. Now, listen, I'm not one of these guys that says, you know, next Tuesday at 12 o'clock, Christ is going to rapture the church. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying we are clearly in some days that have biblical implications, and we've told about in Scripture about where we are. Satan, Scripture says that he's like a lion who is prowling around, seeking who may devour. John 10:10, a thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. The most important thing for us to recognize is don't be surprised that there's evil in the world. Going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, when sin entered into the world, death entered into the world, brokenness entered into the world, division, hatred, all of the things that we've seen and continue to see. It's not a surprise, it's not a shock, but it's also a call to action for all of us who are people of faith, that we recognize what Scripture says, that in every one of those cases, in every one of those situations where we're told about, you know, the evil of the world, what we are told is to recommit ourselves, redevote ourselves to following Christ, to obey Him, to run to Him, to depend on Him, to encourage others to depend on Him, to do what Jesus said in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Acts chapter 1, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all the nations, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to Lynchburg, and every other part of the earth, and go and to speak truth. And that's our calling, and that's what our mission is. And so it's heartbreaking, but it's not surprising.
Yeah.
It's devastating, but it shouldn't shock us.
Yeah.
But what it should never do is to cause us to cower in fear.
Yeah.
It should never cause us to stop doing what God has called us to do. It is just simply a reminder that we live in an evil world that desperately needs Jesus.
Yes.
And just keep preaching truth.
I want to ask this question. As a ministry leader, in a time like this, where there's a lot of division, there is a lot of violence, it seems very dangerous, especially when you're on the forefront. And I think of Thomas Road and Liberty and all that God is doing here. It's amazing what He's doing. But at the same time, when you see acts like this happen as a ministry leader, it might induce fear into some. And I wanted to ask you, how do you process fear to then be able to take it to the Lord, but then to continue to boldly and courageously stand on the truth of God's word and show up week after week on a stage or from a pulpit or from wherever to minister and to not do it from a place of fear, but to do it from a place of conviction, courage, and faith?
Well, you know, Satan would love nothing more than for people of faith, the church, whether ministry leaders, volunteers, whatever it might be, he would love nothing more for us to, in fear, to stop doing what God's called us to do.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that is his goal.
Yeah.
He knows he can't rip us out of the hands of God. Scripture very clearly tells us, Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We cannot be plucked out of the hand of God. Mm-hmm. So he knows he can't do that. So then the only thing that he can do to us is he can get us to be less effective.
Mm-hmm.
He can tamp us down, push us down, hold us back in fear. And so what we do in those kinds of moments is recognize again what God's word says. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Come on.
We understand that, no matter what Satan's plans are, even John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And if that were the end of the story, man, there would not be a lot of hope. But what's really cool is that Jesus followed that up with this statement, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, over the top. That word abundant in the original Greek literally means like overflowing beyond your wildest expectation. Now, understand that we live in a time, yes, it's dangerous. Yes, there's division. Yes, there's anger. Yes, there's violence.
Yes.
We see the things that have taken place. But we also know this, is that God is with us every step of the day. And as my dad said many times, I heard him say it when when I was a kid, and he said it all the way up until his death. And here's what he said, that God's man, God's woman is indestructible until they have finished the work that God has called them to do. Satan can't destroy us while there's still things to do for God. Now, granted, you sit back and say, well, wait a minute, what about that moment then? Are you saying that some people who are dead, that their work for God was done? Precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. Let's not miss out on the fact that God told us through his word in John chapter 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I got to be honest with you. Like, I know heaven's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be a place that is going to blow our minds. It goes beyond anything we could possibly imagine or we could even comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I believe Scripture does not do a really good job.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds weird, mm-hmm. but it doesn't do a really good job of explaining exactly what heaven is like, because our minds, our human minds, could not take it in, could not comprehend it.
Yeah.
So I know heaven's going to be awesome. Now, I'm in no hurry to get there. Mm-hmm. I've got 4 kids. I've got 5 grandkids. My family is growing. I want to watch every one of them grow up. But here's what I do know, that when God sees fit, when it's the time for me to leave this earth, man, I've got nothing to fear because I'm going to somewhere better. And as awesome as this place is, as awesome as my family is, as awesome as, you know, the ministry opportunities that we get to be a part of, as awesome as those things are, heaven is so much greater.
Yeah.
So if that's true, then fear should never be a part of our vocabulary.
Yes.
We should never sit back and think like, man, I'm just going to go hide out at home. I'm going to lock myself in the basement because of all the evil that is out there. That is exactly what Satan wants us to do.
Right.
So what we have to do is just stand up, continue to do what God's called us to do, continue to obey, continue to run with Him. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us very clearly, like, God has given us everything that we need to live a successful Christian life. Everything.
Mm.
And so when that's true, man, just simply do what God has called you to do. Don't let Satan get the victory, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world.
Yes, and to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Yeah.
Like you said, I love the life that God has afforded us here on this earth with our families, with our loved ones, with what God has called us to in ministry. But at the same time, we know where we're going, and we know how the story ends. So we can live not fighting for victory, but fighting from a place of victory. And that in and of itself is faith and freedom. Pastor Jonathan, we talked a little bit about fear, obviously, and how, you know, there might be leaders, there might be people within the Big C Global Church that struggle with that right now. But I'm also thinking about other things, the weight of expectations on ministry leaders. And I want to ask, how do you continue to fight the lure to the applause and the lure to the bright lights? Because I think in a time, you mentioned technology advancement, social media, it's easy to want to develop fans and followers and views and downloads. But in reality, it's about being found faithful before the eyes and the heart of God.
Yeah.
Speak to the importance of how do you manage the weight of expectation, and how do you every day humble yourself to just simply be found faithful rather than trying to be found first?
Yeah, well, 1 Corinthians 4:2 says this, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful." In that verse, you kind of get a picture of everything that you just talked about.
Yeah.
So the first one is this, it's required. Like, we have a responsibility to be faithful.
Yeah.
Second part of that, word steward, that literally in the original Greek takes us back to the idea of a manager. Mm. And so in other words, it conveys, God's word conveys to us that really what we are is nothing more than managers of what God has placed into our hands. In other words, our ministry is not our ministry, it's His.
Yeah.
Our family's not ours, it's His.
Yes.
Our opportunities are not ours, they're His. And so knowing that's true, and we know that it's required of managers that we be found faithful, if we always keep focused on the fact that what we do, we don't do for us, we do for Him, then it always helps us to keep kind of in a right position, a right, you know, mind space, if you will, that we're not here to build our own platforms. We're not here to build our own brand. You know, sadly, and I know this is true, and you have seen it as well, there are some ministry leaders who are very focused on brand.
Yeah.
They're very focused on platform. They're very focused on elevating self. And as you've heard me say many times, when it's all about you, it's all about over.
Yep.
That very quickly, God's not going to honor that. God's not going to allow that to stand, because when we are bringing glory to anything other than Him, at some point, now, it's going to happen for a while because, again, we live in a broken world. In a broken world, we see it. But after a while, God's going to bring that person down. And so we've got to recognize, man, it's far greater to allow. And Scripture even tells us, let others praise us, not appraise ourselves. Let others build us up, not ourselves. So in other words, just focus on doing what God's called you to do. How do we avoid that? Every day that what we do, we spend time in God's Word every day, and we recognize and we're reminded that what we're called to do is to point people to Him.
Mm.
Not point people to me or not point people to you.
Yep.
It's to point people to Him. So we spend time in Scripture every day. We spend time in prayer every day. We spend time focused on what our ministry really is all about, what the opportunities that God brings to us are all about. And it is nothing more, but certainly nothing less than just helping people to see that there's a God who loves them, that Christ died for them, that He rose again for them. And by understanding that truth, that through trusting and believing in Christ, that they can find salvation. And if we can play a small little part, a small little role in helping get people into that position, into that place of accepting Christ, then, man, that's a victory for the kingdom. And that's what it's all about. So, yeah, what we do every day is just recognize, man, we're here to build the kingdom, not our kingdom.
That's right. We're not created to accept the glory, but to deflect it onto the One who is always worthy of that very thing. Pastor Jonathan, in knowing your years of wisdom that you've developed over time, knowledge, experience, you've been serving in a leadership role for the last, what, 30, 40 years probably?
No, 40, come on. Not that old.
But several decades.
Yes. So since 1994.
Since 1994.
31 years.
So in knowing you've done it for a long time, Speak to some of the characteristics and traits that you think comprise biblical leadership, because I think, you know, it's important to recognize what leadership is and what it's not. And I think understanding some of the proper characteristics that God's word tells us to build leadership on, which I don't even know if it mentions the word leader, is obviously it mentions the word servant time and time again. What would you say are the most common traits of a biblical leader?
Well, I think we talked about just a moment ago, humility.
Yes.
There's no question, there's no doubt that for someone to be a successful leader, really in any space, not just in ministry, but in business, yes, in your home, in family, in your neighborhoods, whatever that might be, humility is a key component of that. Because whenever humility is absent, then what naturally happens is pride. And you go to the book of Proverbs, man, you can point to passage after passage after passage in Proverbs that tells us that, you know, when pride comes, destruction comes, right? Yes. Proverbs 16:18, pride comes before destruction. A haughty spirit comes before the fall. So humility has to be a key component of that. Secondly, is awareness. Mm-hmm. Awareness that you don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. Of recognizing that no matter how gifted you are, no matter how successful you might be, there's always more you can learn. My dad always taught me, again, from the time I was a little kid, if you want to be successful in ministry or in anything else, surround yourself with people who are smarter and more talented than you are. Mm. Why? Because we're continually learning. And so there's just an awareness like, hey, man, we're not going to arrive until we get to heaven, right? So always surround yourself with people who can help you grow and help you become more, because we can always become more. A thirst for knowledge. Yes, spending time in God's word, but also spending time and reading others, Oswald Chambers and Charles Spurgeon and other A.W. Tozer, all of these great, leaders of yesterday that have poured their hearts out on pages and in books that can help us grow in our walk with God and grow in our faith. Having that thirst for more information about what we do and why we do it, mm-hmm, is so vital. When you stop, seeking out more about what you do and why you do it, stagnation is going to happen. Yeah. And when you get stagnant, the natural thing that's going to happen, stagnation does not create a level playing field. It creates decline. Mm. It creates decline in ministry. It creates decline in leadership. It creates decline in impact. And so we always have to be climbing, and climbing requires us to grow and to learn. So it's a thirst for more for knowledge. Recognition that that God has instilled in us certain talents and certain gifts, but not all of them. Mm. Of understanding that we're in this journey together, lock arms with others to recognize that together we can accomplish far more than we can on our own. There are a lot of people who love the individuality of their impact into their ministry, and it's again. Kind of falls back on the humility thing, like, man, I can do this alone. I can make this happen. I can do this better than anyone else. Man, just recognize, no, you can't.
Yeah.
And so teamwork, build a good team, connect with other people who can help you walk this thing out. And so, recognition of all of those things are key components to continue to make an impact and make a difference. And then I would say finally, and certainly this is not an exhaustive list. We could sit there and talk about this all day long. But one thing that I would say finally in this conversation would just simply this, is find people that you can mentor and bring along. Mm. People who maybe aren't where you are now. People who have not had the opportunity of doing what you've done now. Because here's the deal. You're dying. I'm 58 years old, even though you tried to make me older. I'm 59. I just turned 59. I'm 59 years old. See, I just lost an entire year right here. And so we know the first time we take our first breath is the moment we begin the process of dying. We have no idea how many more days we have on this earth. We know that someone, absent Christ returning, someone's going to have to take our place.
Yeah.
And so spend time pouring into others to help raise up that next generation of leaders who will accomplish and do greater things than even you. Even Jesus himself, he made this statement. When he was leaving, he said, and you, talking to the disciples, and you'll do greater things than even I did. Think about that. Jesus himself said that. So we certainly have the requirement, man, if we're going to be a good leader, raise up people behind you who are going to take the mantle and take over when you're gone.
Yes. Humility, community, mentorship, a thirst for knowledge, and really just a commitment to a process of progress each and every day as we continue to humbly serve God and serve others through the capacity of leadership. October is Pastor Appreciation Month. I wanted to say this again. You are loved. You are valued. You are seen. You are prayed for. You are supported. I promise there are people in your corner that put wind behind your sails because we love you and we really do value the leader that you are. I want you to give you the opportunity, though, to share to a pastor out there today who, again, is serving and shepherding in very dark times, mm-hmm. who maybe feels discouraged, maybe feels disappointed, maybe feels like they've fallen into a pit of despair. What's a word of encouragement and hope that you would leave that pastor with today as we enter into the month of October?
Number one, you're not alone.
Yeah.
There's not a pastor out there who feels like they're walking through a difficult time or feels like they're all by themselves or feel like no one cares. You're not the only one who feels that, but there are many moments where I feel alone. There are many moments where I feel discouraged, and you know, I mean, that's it's not just for a, you know, for a small church. It's for a big church. It's for every church because, you know, church really is nothing more than leading and impacting people. Yeah. And so, regardless of the number of people, it's all the same. So, number one, you're not alone. Number two, recognize this that what you do, you're doing because you're called by God. And the validation that sometimes we as human beings seek from others is not nearly as great as the validation we can receive from God. Mm. That when we sit back and we're just simply faithful to what God has called us to do, that's the validation we're looking for. That is the wind in the sails, really, that we long for, is that God can look at us and say, yeah, that's what I've called you to do, and keep doing that. You know, I mean, you think about it. You can fail in business. You can fail in so many different other things, relationships, whatever it might be. You can fail. But when you are doing what God has called you to do faithfully day in and day out, regardless of how tough, regardless of how difficult, regardless of the challenge you might be navigating and travailing through today, if you're doing what God has called you to do, you will not fail.
Yeah.
Because God will not call you to failure. God does not call you to lose. God does not call you to defeat. Mm. And God is going to put in you everything that you need to carry out and to pull off everything that he's called you to do. And so when you feel like, man, I'm not getting the validation, I'm not getting the, you know, the pats on the back from the culture and from people and from even people in my own church, that's not why we do what we do. We do what we do because God has called us. And every time that we are walking through those moments of despair, those moments of discouragement, it's a time for us to recall and to remind ourselves, I'm not here for a pat on the back. I'm here to be obedient to the call of God.
That's right. You are not alone. You know, in the work that I've done and walking alongside of ministry leaders in the past, one thing that I've recognized is that a lot of them don't just struggle with exhaustion. They struggle with emptiness. And when we're constantly pouring out or we're constantly investing in, we too must be filled. So, Pastor Jonathan, I want to end how we began. Refuel. Coming to Thomas Road Baptist Church, October 6th and 7th, a free event. It's going to be incredibly exciting, and it's a time not to, again, just be educated and to be equipped, but also to be rejuvenated, to be refilled, to be refueled. Pastor Jonathan, for all of our audience out there who wants to sign up and register, and all they have to do, again, is go to refuel.org. If they show up, what can they expect to get out of that those 2 days?
Well, you're going to expect fellowship with a lot of people who are in the same boat that you're in. Of leaders, of ministry leaders, of pastors, of worship pastors, youth pastors, children's pastors, volunteer lay leaders within the church, followers of Christ who are just wanting to come and get filled up for a couple of days with the power of God's Word. You're going to hear some great sermons, but that's really not what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, you can hear great sermons by turning your computer on, you know?
That's right.
You can be encouraged by pastors by your phone or whatever it might be. What you're going to have the opportunity of doing is gathering together with other people to be encouraged, to grow in your faith, to grow in your service, to grow in your wisdom of how to do what it is that we're called to do, of pouring into one another, of like, you know, what are the best practices in ministry today? Like, what are the things that the challenges that we're all facing, and how can we walk through those and to help each other through those moments? But ultimately, what it really is an awareness like, man, yeah, like you said, we're not alone. Isolation is the enemy to spiritual growth.
Yes.
And anytime a pastor or any follower of Christ allows themselves to isolate, allows themselves to get to the place where they are pulling back from others to come alongside and to bless one another, fellowship with one another, community with one another. Man, that's the enemy to spiritual growth of becoming what God's called you to become. And so it's an opportunity for ministry leaders to get together and recognize, man, we're not alone. We're in this together. Encourage one another. Pray with one another. Pray for one another. And as a result of that, walk out of the room energized to go back and to continue to do what God has called us to do. Refuel is not like some special thing that it's the only place in the world that you can be encouraged, right. But it is a place you can be encouraged, and it's free, so yes. Why not come?
Hope and pray that each and every one of you will consider joining us again, being encouraged, being refilled, being in a time of community and great worship and prayer and allowing yourselves to be invested into and to be poured into as well. So that way, you can more effectively do the work that God has called you to. It's free, October 6th and 7th, Thomas Hurd Baptist Church, Lynchburg, Virginia. We hope you'll see us there, refuel.org. Pastor Jonathan Falwell, my friend, thank you for your time. Thank you for your wisdom. Again, just thank you for all that you continue to do in the field of ministry and just leadership in general. I look up to you. I appreciate you. I love you, sir. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.